The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Seed is an interesting topic to think about. And believe it or not, the subject of growing seed to full maturity is a very important part and topic in the lives of all true believers. You may ask the question, why? Well, there are several reasons, and I'd like to give you three, I believe, really good reasons at this point to consider. One, because God is the originator of all good seed. Number two, because it is God who gives us seed. And number three, because God desires seed to be growing and developing in our lives. Now, with these three reasons in mind, I'd like you to think about what I consider to be a very important fact, and that is good seed can be sown only by God. And brethren, as true believers, we must not be neglecting the seed that God has given to each of us, collectively or individually. Also, the way our seed grows depends on a number of factors. So today, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to look into this topic of seed, sowing seed and growing seed. Again, I don't know about you, but I find it interesting to realize that seeds are always smaller than the fruit that is produced. I find that very interesting just to think of it. How did this little thing, you know, sometimes you have to hold several in your hand to be able to tell what you have, and that is a handful of seed. And we don't know what the seeds are most of the time, but just looking at it, unless it's something that we do on a regular basis. But if someone just put a bunch of seeds in my hand, I would not know what they are primarily until I planted it, nourished them, and they grew, and they go, oh, it was whatever that seed is. And God has put that in there. And I find it, as I said, very interesting that seed is always smaller than the fruit that is produced. So let's take a look at some factors about this topic of seeds. First, I'd like for us to realize that Jesus used analogies of farming to show some spiritual truths. And a second thing that I'd like for us to see and to realize is that let's please remember that Jesus makes it clear that we are called to plant seed or to sow seed. I know you're going to come back and say, well, wait a minute, you just said it was God is the only one who can sow good seed. I'm making a comparison there between God and Satan. It's only God who can sow good seed, and Satan can only deal with bad seed. If you follow that line of reasoning, that's my thought there. But we are called to plant seed, to sow seed. And of course, then they have to be seeds that come from God. And as we are thinking on these first few points that I just mentioned, I'd also like for us to think about the point that we have not been necessarily called to harvest fruit. And that's something that I think may be a shock to our thinking in some point. We have been called to plant seed, but we have not necessarily, we have been called to harvest fruit. Also, let's think about the point that Jesus shows us that seed takes time to grow and to multiply and to bear fruit or be fruitful. Now, with these statements in mind, I'd like for us to begin by turning to the parable of the sower. And I'd like to look at this in the book of Matthew. A working usage of the word parable is a story to illustrate a moral or spiritual truth. In the Hebrew, because we find this word parable either in Hebrew or in Greek, either one in the Bible, and the Hebrew word is mashal, which means similitude or proverb. The Greek word for parable is the word parabola, which also means similitude. And the similitude is not a word that we necessarily use a great deal in our language, but it would be, other words would be such as likeness, resemblance, equivalence, you know, those kinds of things. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, begin in verse 1. Matthew 13 in verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now you can read in chapter 12 and you can see what's happening. Sometimes in commentaries they will refer to this day. It said the same day went Jesus out. This is referred to in Scripture as being the long day, because there are many things that take place on this particular day. It's not the point of the sermon. The point of the sermon is to look at seed. And so we're going to look in chapter 13 here about the parable of the sower. So he goes out and sits by the seaside. Verse 2, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he gets in a boat, rows out into the lake, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower, or meaning, as we would use the word today, would be a farmer. A sower or a farmer went forth to sow. The word sow here in this context means the act of scattering over the ground for growing. And so by usage, it would mean the act of scattering seed over the ground for growing. Brethren, from all indications, and I mean from indications, any type of works that are still maybe from that time or from archaeological findings and those kinds of things, sowing was always done by hand. Now, we don't, I mean, you know, unless you're a little backyard gardener, that's not a farmer. A farmer is someone who grows multiple crops, or one crop maybe, but on multiple acres maybe is the way I would think about it. We don't tend to do that. You know, we would maybe sow it by hand, but somebody who's a big farmer is not going to necessarily sow 30 acres of whatever he's going to grow by hand. He's going to do it by machines. But at that time, like I said, from all indication, sowing was always done by hand. And some say there's an analogy that is used here, and they use the word seed to represent the word of God. Now, if this is so, how is that seed sown in each person that is called? Well, God has planted inside each of us the seed of His Holy Spirit. That in itself is a huge topic, and I'm not going there today, not going to really make much more comment about that, because that would be outside of this particular sermon. In some translations, where in this phrase where we just read, it says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Then in Mark, for example, Mark chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, hearken, and that word today would be, we would understand it more as listen, pay attention. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. The word hearken that is used here indicates something very important was about to be stated. And so we are told in Scripture, hearken, in other words, pay attention to what's being stated, so therefore we should understand this is a very important topic that is going to be addressed, and this is what this is telling us. And the purpose of that was to prevent those who were listening to regard it as something of very little consequence, because the idea is it's something that's very important that we need to pay attention to. So using the word hearken or behold was also designed to get their full attention. It would be like, and I've used this analogy before, but it fits. It would be like a teacher saying, listen up, this may be on your test. And so what do we start doing? Writing it down and paying attention. We don't look away at that time, do we? We listen. Well, that's the same technique that Jesus is using, you know, by using the phrase as it is. And it says, hearken, or listen up, or behold, because what I'm about to tell you is very important. Now let's go on. We're still in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 4. And it says, and when he sowed, the he is the sower, or the farmer, sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the birds, as other translations actually rightly use, came and devoured them up. In other words, they ate the seeds. This wayside or roadway or pathway is what it's referring to. This is the soil that is hardened by people walking on it. you know, a lot of foot traffic in this area, and they're walking on this pathway. It's not necessarily referring to a paved roadway here, but a pathway in which we may walk on. And a pathway is obviously never a good place to plant seed for a lot of different reasons. One reason simply is because people walking on it, it will beat down the soil, smoothing out all of the cracks in which any seed could fall and germinate. And so it's packed down, so it's not there. And so if you sow seed on it, nothing's going to grow there. This is the point that he's making. And so the soil becomes hardened, and any seed that would fall would not be a good place because there would not be any kind of opening necessary for it to grow and to develop and bring forth fruit. The verse says that birds come along and, or it's in the King James says fowls, came along and devoured them. And we see that the birds symbolize Satan the devil. In so many different situations in our lives, the devil is very quick to come along and to try and to take away the seeds, even the seeds of our life, what it is that God would want us to be planting. I believe that one of the most incredible things that we as humans need to come to realize is that Satan is real. Satan can sow only evil seeds. And so we know right off, if anything is going to come from him, it's not going to produce something good. And so we need to be thinking about and making a comparison whenever we look at almost anything that affects our lives. Is this of God? Is the end result going to be good, or is the end result going to be bad? And if we can do that, we very quickly can determine who is coming from. And we need to do that, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to think about things actually in our lives in that way. And this sowing seed actually helps us to see that and to think about it in that way. In this same parable that we're reading here, when it talks about the shallow soil, that's actually going to be in the next verse, it is referring to the person who has little or no background knowledge of the Word of God, or it would be referring to a person who has a superficial knowledge of the truth of God, but it'd be very little. It'd be nothing very deep, very, very shallow in that sense. And as a result, from this, we should learn to be careful to follow the planting of the seed with using the proper instructions that we find in the pages of the Bible. Not what we think it should be done or how it should be done. God tells us in the Bible how things are to be done, and we need to be aware of that. This is, by the end of the sermon today, I hope we all will realize this is an incredible analogy or story, this parable of the seed or the parable of the sower. And I'll tell you right up front, we're not going to cover all details about it. It's going to be too large for this particular one sermon. But a question that I'd want us to understand is, do we see from this that we all have a part in the growth process? That's what we're to come to see. That's what we're to come to understand. We have a part in the growth process. Verse 5, some fell upon stony, or in some translation says rocky. Some fell upon stony or rocky places, where they had not much earth or had shallow soil, as it says in some translations, and I actually find that much better. And forthwith or quickly they sprang up because they had no deepness of the earth, because the soil was shallow and therefore the seeds could not put down deep roots. It says that some fell on stony places. Now, if you go back and you do some research, and there's a lot of different ways of doing research. Of course, we have the internet, a lot of other places, a lot of other things. But we can see that much of that area in the Middle East, during the time of the days of Jesus Christ, that we can see they've always been stony. This place has always been that way, even back at that time. And the terrain is covered in a very thin layer of soil. It's like sometimes in some of the yards here in Florida, I think we realize this is we don't have soil. What we have is dirt. You know, there is a difference. You know, soil is where you grow things. Dirt is just that stuff that's out there. And that's what we have a lot of times here. So in other words, what we see here is that some hear, but they do not respond. The reason is because there are some who are upset or they get their feelings hurt or whatever by trials and tribulations. And so they get their feelings hurt and so they give up. If their spiritual roots go deep, then they are not going to shrivel up or fade away when tribulations or problems come along because we have the Word of God. And that's what is needed. We need the Word of God in us where that seed is growing or thereby growing as a result of being there. Let's go on. Verse 6. We got a lot to cover. Verse 6. And when the sun was up, they, mean the plants, were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. In other words, I'd already used this phrase, they either shriveled up or they faded away. They were gone. There was no longer life in them. So these plants were not rooted in that deep, moist soil, which would have enabled them to be able to resist the scorching heat of the sun, because that's the only way that a plant is going to be able to survive in a heat is because they got deep roots. A lot more we could say, and we'll say some more as we go along. Let's go on, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. In other words, they choked some of the plants. This is what it's meaning. What it is stating is that some that fell among thorns, but in a more literal way, and in some translations actually have it, it should be better into the thorns. Another characteristic of roadsides or pathways that we saw that earlier in the Middle East, especially in the area of Jesus' day and even now in our times, is that it is a land of thorns. It is a land of thistles, and it is a land of thorny bushes. Now, hold your place, and I'll come back to Matthew in just a minute, but I want to go back to the book of Genesis. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, Genesis 3 and verse 17, this is after man had sinned against God. And unto Adam, God said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. The indication is it was never to be that hard. Growing food was never to have been that hard. I don't know if you've really ever done any real farming or maybe you've had a backyard garden and you've had difficulties growing it, or maybe you have what they call a green thumb. You've never had the difficulties growing it, but a lot of times it is very, very difficult to get things growing because weeds will come in. That's the same thing that Genesis is telling us here. That's what we're seeing here, these thorns or thistles or bushes that have thorns or whatever else. Weeds is another name. It could be the word that we're using today. Then verse 18, and it says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. It was intended to be easy, but because of the sin, growing became more difficult. We still experience that today. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And so we see when it says that it fell among and thorns came in, it's a reality. It's a reality. The basic reality here is that thorns suffocated the growing and the developing seed. We're learning some things here. God wants us to have Him first in our lives. Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God in His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, you go back into context. We're not going to go back there, but you read the context. What do you see talking about? Food, clothing, shelter, all of those things. But if we put God first, all of these things are going to be added unto us. This is what it tells us. And so we are learning even here in Matthew chapter 13 through this parable of the sower, we understand that God wants to be first in our lives. And from this, we are to also learn some very important points about the conversion process. One of those points that we're to learn is that God requires the absolute total removal of all competition. We can't be out in the field, and the parable goes on and says the field is the world. We can't be out there and dealing with God and how he's dealing with it in our life and also entertaining Satan. We can't do that because God does not want that. He wants to be first, and then when you really think about it, he wants to be only when it comes to these kinds of things. So the first point of conversion that we see here is that God requires the absolute total removal of all competition. Number two, God requires that we uproot the thorns and weeds that have laid claim to the soil of our lives. We are to uproot them and get them out. A third thing is that God requires that only good soil be available for the new life that he is developing in us. I remember we've already stated that good seed can only come from God and bad seed comes from the devil. And what God requires is that only good seed be available for this new life that he wants to be developed in us. And then point number four is that God knows the process is slow. And God also knows that it takes time to develop. And he's okay with that. I've had people over the years and say, well, I'm just not making any progress in my life. And when a person tells me that, many times they are. They're just not making the progress. They don't see the progress that they think that they should have developed by that time. Sometimes it could be that they're not. Sometimes it's because they're just too complacent and or they're lazy or whatever. But oftentimes it is, there is progress, but like I said, God knows the process is slow. We want it to be fast. We want it to be developed now. And God realizes it's going to take time to develop. He knows that. Another good point about this parable that I think is interesting is this parable does not say that the thorny soil was bad soil. It doesn't say that. And I've heard people say that this is what it says. It's not what it says. It may have been good soil. Because there's another point to the analogy that we have to look at. What we see is that this soil, this thorny soil, had already been occupied by the thorn bushes. Because it said, because remember I told you the literal translation, because it says in the King James that they sowed it among the thorns. And I said the literal, when you really look back on it, the better translation is it was sown among or in, meaning they already were there. And it may have been good. The soil may have been bad or good. We can't conclude that it was bad. We only conclude that something else was already occupying it because their deep roots had penetrated deep into the soil and were consuming all the nutrients that whatever crop they were trying to sow, wheat or whatever it was that they were needing to plant by sowing whatever seed they were sowing, and it would have been sown among or into the thorns. Now, what do you think would have got the nutrients? The one that already had the deep roots. Jesus is also very specific or very explicit about the nature of the thorns. Now, what I mean by that is he makes it clear that they take over and choke the good seeds out. One more thought would be that the growth did not mature and was therefore unfruitful. Why would you sow something? Why would you sow a seed for planting and it never becomes fruitful? And the point is we wouldn't. I mean, the purpose of sowing the seed is to grow and to have fruit, you know, to have a produce come about. And we see that that's one of the things that happened. What we also need to understand here is that a seed is active. It is alive. There is growth. There is life inside the seed. So a seed is active. The soil serves the seed in its growth process. And eventually, as the seed does grow, the roots extract the nutrients from the soil. They also gather water from the soil to nourish the budding plant and therefore, as a result, to produce the fruit that is desired, whatever has been planted. That's the process. But if it's been sown among or within the thorny bushes, It's not going to do that. Let's go on. Verse 8. We're still in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8. But other seed is what's being referred to. But other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. In other words, it would be a lot of different ways of looking at this, but I think most of the time we would think it would be like the 30-fold would be 30 times what was sown, or 100 times what was sown. The verse also makes it very, very clear that others, meaning seeds, fell in good ground, because the good ground was not hard, it was not stony, it did not have weeds. That's what would be indication there. And we know this because it says, and it grew some 30 and some 60 and 100. And it wouldn't have produced that had it been in the hard or the stony or the weedy or the thorny, you know, thing. It wouldn't have happened that way. The good ground consists of those who hear, those who understand, and those who receive the word of God with joy or happiness in their lives. And that's a contrast because of what some of the others, the way they received it. And we'll see that as we go along. The word of God can only germinate in the soil, in the soft, pliable, workable soil where it is not hard or stony or weedy. It is the same way in our hearts and our minds. They must be the same way. I want you to think, and I want you to consider with me for a moment, if God has done it all to the point that people have no part in their personal Christian growth, how then can we even begin to understand and appreciate the parable of the sower? Now, I make that statement because there are some who say, we don't do anything. And I read this parable and I go, that's not what I read. I see that, of course, God is totally involved in this, but we are also involved in this. An important teaching here of this parable is that having a good heart enables us to receive the word with joy and to exercise all our responsibilities. And that is a major teaching of this parable. People can talk all day long about what God has done, and he has. But from this parable, one of the key things that we see is that if people do not exercise their own personal duties, what it is that we're supposed to be doing, then there will not be benefit to that person that God has intended for that person to receive. If you've never, and I mentioned this earlier, if you've never really grown any kind of crops or anything, especially on any kind of large scale, you cannot just go out and sow it. You have to work it. You have to work the soil. And it's almost like the bigger piece of property you have, the more you have to work it. Because there's more potential for weeds and all the negative things to get in there. And those, you know, you talk about farmers getting up and, well, they're out there to crack it down and they come back in. You know why? Because they didn't just plow it up and plant the seed and put some water on it and walk away and that's it. And they wait until it grows. That's not it. They're having to out there and be working the soil around their plants through the whole growing season. In other words, they have to be involved. They have to be involved. And that is the point that I'm trying to make here. That God does not do it all. I am not trying to put down it all. And I think everybody knows me well enough to know that that's not what I'm saying, what God does. God gives us the seed. God gives us the dirt. He gives us the soil. All comes from him, and we understand that. But he doesn't do all of this in this process, because what I'm saying, in other words, is this. Jesus' death does not make us free from our responsibility. We have a part. Verse 9. We're going to read the next several verses. Then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about this parable. Verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples gave and said unto him, why speak you to them in parables? Because I dare say that we can read this parable of the sower, these first 8 verses, and we can go, there it is. Now, what is he talking about? Unless we have God's Holy Spirit, we're not going to really understand it. And that may seem like somewhat of a shock, because I think we can understand these things, but there's so many people who don't understand. And this is what his disciples, why are you speaking to him in parables? And then Jesus answered and said unto him, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. I talked to them in these parables so that they would really not fully understand it, because it's not now time for them to understand. Verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, in hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, and he said this is the reason they can't, is because this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I would heal them. But they've closed their eyes and they've closed their ears. And this is what he said. Even though it's there, and if you have the Holy Spirit, you can understand it. They're there. They can see the same things, but they don't understand it. This quote of where he said is found in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears, I read in the Word, because they hear. What Isaiah, because Jesus is quoting from Isaiah, what Isaiah is talking about is a state of mind of the people during the days of Jesus. Because he says, this is what is happening. They don't, quoting Isaiah, that he's saying that what Isaiah said is referring to the people at the time of Jesus Christ. But I can also agree and conclude that he is also referring to the same state of mind in our day today. As we see reading from the details of this parable here in Matthew chapter 13, there was concern with the different soils into which the seed was to fall on. The concern was not so much with the sower or with the seed itself, because it doesn't even name what the seed is. Now, we know in the parable that Jesus is the sower, and we understand that the seed, you know, is the Word of God, but that's not really the focus, is it? It's the kind of soil that the seed went in is the focus that he's dealing with here. And brother, all too often, the religious belief and teaching is that Christians are to be passive and are not to be so active in their roles as they follow Jesus Christ. We have too many people that believe that today. I know we have people believe this because they're going to just look at their lives. And that's what you would have to conclude. This parable teaches us this is contrary to what is being said and done in too many places today. Because the contrary part of this from the parable is that we see we are to be involved. We've got to be careful as to what soil it goes on. That is an active part, and we cannot be passive in our Christian way of life. A psychologist in a well-known prison made a comment that I find very interesting as to why religion, in the case of trying to help to reform a prison, is often ineffective. And he made this statement, and the statement that he makes is, the common teaching that man has no personal responsibility in his religion and salvation, and that God does it all, takes away from man any necessary growth and maturity, and is ineffective in seriously changing lives. And I would totally agree with that statement. I think he hit it right on the head of the nail. Too many people are not involved in their religious life. They do what they're told. They go when they go. Oh, church is going to be at this time. They show up. Bible's going to be at this time. They show up. But it doesn't affect their lives. It doesn't. They're not really involved. And this is what he's saying. If you're trying to change a prison without religion, he said, that's like telling a person that he has no responsibility in changing his life. Religion does have a place. And this is what he is saying. In fact, the exact opposite is believed by others. And that is that human beings can save themselves by what we would call works. Now, we understand it's because over the years, we as an organization, we have been accused of teaching that we are saved by works, and that is so far from what we teach. I can understand by some of the phraseology that we've used in time past where people might conclude that, but when they really understand it, then they go, oh, then you don't really believe in works. No, but it's what it sounded like to them. And so there are people who do believe, though, that they are, that the humans themselves can save themselves by the works that they do. Brother, the real message of this parable, I believe, is quite often missed. And that is that we do have a responsibility with the seed that has been given to us. We have a responsibility, and it is to be developing. It is to be growing. There are four types of people in the world illustrated by Jesus Christ in this parable. So I want to go back and talk about it. I'm not going to read the verses, just going to talk about the various kinds of soil and then the people that Jesus Christ is referring to. Number one is the wayside or the roadway. This is where, you know, it's hard and it can't come through. Okay. Some people hear the word of God, they hear the word of the kingdom of God, because this parable is about the kingdom of God, but they never truly understand. They never become true believers or true followers or true disciples. They hear it, but they don't do anything about it. The second one is the stony or the rocky ground. Some people hear the word and they receive it, but they fail. They fall away because of tribulations or persecutions in their lives. I think all of us should understand that there were people who were followers of Jesus as long as it was convenient. But Jesus made some statements to some of the followers, and he says, and from that time forward, they no longer followed him. Why? Because it wasn't convenient for them. These are the kind of people that Jesus is talking about here. They had some understanding, they received it, but when things didn't go the way they wanted it, tribulations, persecution, I don't want any part of this, and so they go away. When their faith proved to them, and at least in their thinking, to be inconvenient in the face of persecution, they denied their faith. So have some today. Number three was the thorny ground. Some people hear the word, but allow the worldly cares, the anxieties of the world, and the riches of the world to choke the word of God out of them. In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, in the account that we're reading here, there were people who heard the word of the kingdom, but they chose the world and the riches and the things of the world as opposed to following Jesus Christ. And then the fourth one, of course, the fourth kind of ground is the good ground. Now, here we would see that some people become true disciples or true followers of Jesus Christ. We know this because this is reflected by the threefold characteristics of what I would call genuineness. And that is, they heard the word, they understood the word, and they bear fruit by using the word in their lives. That is someone that the seed fell on good ground. Matthew 24 and verse 14 tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. I believe that these four types of ground or the four types of people are basic lessons that are found in this parable of the sower. I think we also should understand that there is another basic understanding, and that is that each of these types of people that Jesus points out as the different soil or the different ground types, they had existed prior to the soil, even receiving the actual seed itself. They were that type before that. In other words, they didn't become this way because of what happened. They were already this way, but they either received the Word of God and did something with it, or received the Word of God and then they threw it away, or whatever the case is in whichever one of those four different types of categories. But as a result of that, I have a question. Does that make